Reformed Church. It looks like we still have a fair number of people in spring break. I'm not going to ask you all to move to the center and to the front, but what I am going to ask you is to sing extra loud this morning with us. Will you rise for our call to worship?
Come, let us worship the God who came to seek and save the lost. Let us worship the God who came to seek and save each of us.
Let us welcome God into our homes and our hearts. Let us give of ourselves in this worship time that we may know God. Let us joyfully and with gratitude worship God.
This morning, and I just pray a blessing on everybody here, especially those visiting with us, that they will experience your presence, that they will feel it, that they will sense it, God, and they will also get to experience the hospitality of your people here. Pray a blessing on Kevin this morning as he brings your word to us. Just equip him. Let him speak the words that you've laid on his heart this week and the ones you've put in his mind. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome to each one here this morning. So good to be with you. We are here this morning to worship our God as we have been doing already. This season of the year is called Lent, and it's a time where we particularly focus on the life and the work of Jesus Christ. Not that we don't do that other times a year, but it is a special time of year where we're devoted to that as we approach Good Friday and Easter. And so we're going to do that this morning, both in song, but also in the message today, to focus on a story in the life of Jesus as he is journeying toward the cross. So I pray and trust that you will be blessed in this time of worship today. As we are gathered in the Lord's name, let us receive this word of greeting. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet and welcome those around us.
Morning.
Dude, what is it?
Morning.
Can I pick it up?
Yes. Yeah.
What up? There's a little dilly in between the third and fourth verse. So it's...
Son, Comforter, Cornerstone, Emmanuel, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lamb of God, and Messiah.
Only begotten Son, Root of Jesse, Seed of David, Son of Man, Song of God, the Word, Jesus. Whatever name you use, it's a beautiful name, the name Jesus.
Name it is the name of Jesus Christ.
Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Well, in good Liberian fashion, the response to that would be, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Well, that was a message in itself right there, but sorry to say I have something prepared. I'm going to give you a little bit more. Oh. But we thank the Lord for His power and grace, and we're going to remember and celebrate that further today in our message. We are called each day to come and examine ourselves and examine our hearts before the Lord, knowing of our sinfulness, but always in light of that great message to Christ, His grace to us. So let this be our prayer as we go into a prayer of confession from Psalm 139. Right at the end, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. Test me, Lord, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. How often is that our prayer? Lord, show me how I'm messing up. Do we want to know that? We're not perfect. But Lord, teach me, show me, that I may confess and may turn to live rightly. So let's go before God in a time of confession and prayer. Lord our God, as we quiet our hearts before you, humbling ourselves, knowing that we are not deserving of anything from your hand, dear Lord, but and knowing of our own sin, we come to you, the one who walked that road of suffering, who endured sin on our behalf, who became sin for us, that we may no longer be condemned to that sin. And so show us our need of you. Show us where we are wrong, where we have failed you, where we have sinned against you. So hear the quiet meditations of our hearts, Lord, but also in these words of confession, confessing that sometimes we are selfish, Lord, doing things for our own gain, for our own motivations, for our own self and pleasures. Forgive us when our ears are deaf to your word. We do not only just listen, but we do not obey your word. Forgive us for keeping you at a distance when we have that great promise that you are always with us. Forgive us when we hurt others with our words or our actions. Forgive us for being insensitive to the needs of those around us when we turn the other way at those needs, when we don't see the open door for ministry that you put right in front of our path. Forgive us, Lord, for not responding. Forgive us for sitting on the sidelines of ministry. Lord, forgive us for our callousness toward the suffering that we see in people's lives around us and in the world at large, Lord, so much suffering going on. Forgive us of our envy of those who have more than we have. Forgive us for our indifference to the treasures of heaven. Oh, Lord, hear us. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection and ascension to heaven, Lord, forgive us of our sins and set our eyes fully upon him and his grace he offers to us. Give us open and receptive hearts to that. Teach us, we pray. Lead us onward. In the name of Jesus, amen. Part of our assurance this morning is coming from Romans chapter 10. And it says there, beginning at verse 8, the Lord is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Many of you have made that confession. Perhaps some are on the sidelines. But it's calling us to make that profession, a verbal profession, not only in our hearts, but a verbal profession. So let's continue that assurance through the words of the Apostles' Creed, as we have embedded in there, of course, the heart of the gospel, but also the core of our beliefs as a whole in the Apostles' Creed. Let us say together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Do we have children in worship today? Yeah, all right. As they follow the flag and get ready to learn about our Lord Jesus and worship, I'll be reading from John chapter 11. It'll be up on the screen, but I invite you also, if you have your Bibles, to follow along there. It's a long story, but it's a story, and it all fits together. So my focus is going to be verses 17 through 44, but I feel like I need to just kind of read that whole section to set the context of this whole encounter of the death of Lazarus. And as our Bibles are open and our thoughts are turned to His Word, please bow with me in a moment of prayer. Lord our God, as we come before Your Word, help us to have the attitude and spirit of boy Samuel, who was listening for Your voice, and who at hearing it says, "Speak, Lord, for Your servant is listening." So give us open minds and hearts to hear Your Word, to respond and obey through this story about Jesus at the graveside of Lazarus. In Jesus' name, amen. So from John chapter 11, hear God's Word. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany and the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped His feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one You love is sick." When He heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." So He's setting the stage here. He's kind of making a prophecy, so to speak. Well, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when He heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then He said to His disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone You, and yet You are going back there?" Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After He had said this, He went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but His disciples thought He meant natural sleep. So then He told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." And then our text begins here. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet Him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if You had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give You whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in Me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told Him. "I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," Martha said, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." So, congregation of Jesus Christ, as you think about this story, understand that this was one story, one encounter within the life of Jesus while he walked this earth and as he journeyed closer to the cross. And it really touched him close to home. For Lazarus and Martha and Mary were as good as family to Jesus. Jesus then comforted, Jesus then was confronted with the death of this very close friend. I want us to see how Jesus dealt with that. Not just in terms of how Jesus dealt with it, but in terms of what we are to gain from that in his interactions. For Jesus dealt with it by using it as an opportunity to stretch the faith of all those around him. His disciples, Martha and Mary, other Jews who were there in the crowd. You and I all have experienced faith-stretching kinds of events in our lives, haven't we? Things that cause us to struggle in our faith, to question God a bit, just to be perhaps discouraged and just struggling from day to day, not having that joy in our hearts that we would like to have. And in the end, we say that, well, God lets these things happen. And sometimes he does amazing things that stretches or tests our ability to believe. Many of us have been sick at one point. Will you actually believe that Jesus can bring healing? When you pray for the people of our congregation, as we list the prayer concerns, that the Lord can actually bring healing? Is there that kind of faith and hope in our hearts and lives? Martha states that she believed that Jesus is the Son of God, that he could raise up Lazarus, but it didn't seem like she believed that he would actually do it, or at least in that moment. In this encounter, we see how Jesus is seeking to instill hope amid life's challenges of life. So first of all, look with me at the words of Martha. Martha's first words in this exchange here with Jesus. So when Jesus comes on the scene in Bethany, Jesus knows that Lazarus is dead. We read in the first number of verses of John 11. Disciples knew that he had died as well in terms of what Jesus said. Jesus wasn't surprised, but the disciples perhaps were kind of surprised. So here Martha's words again. She said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." The same words that Mary uses a little later on, verse 32, when she finally meets Jesus. And she says, "I know even now God will give you whatever you ask of him." And so let's see what she's really expressing in these words. Were they, it was an expression of lack of faith? Not at all. They expressed faith. She knew the power and compassion of Jesus from the healings he had done before. She sincerely believes that he could have healed Lazarus. That's why she called for him. And though she has faith, Jesus pushes the limits of her faith here. When she says, even now God will give you whatever you ask, what could Jesus possibly ask? Doesn't really say from Martha's perspective, but she says, he will give you whatever you ask. And she may have been even hinting that he could raise him from the dead right even now. So she seems to have that hope that maybe Lazarus could be raised from the dead. But it seems she believes that, Jesus has the power to do that. But the conversation that follows is interesting. What she dared not ask straight out, Jesus says directly, your brother will rise again. You see, this idea of that happening right now was, though it was, the belief was there, she had this dim hope that it would actually happen. And she assumed that Jesus was talking just about that future resurrection, as any of us would in our belief. So Martha had faith. She believed that Jesus could do what Jesus could do, but she didn't really expect it, that Jesus would do such a great thing for her, for Lazarus, right then and there. So again, Jesus takes this as a prime opportunity to stretch her faith. And I think it calls to us in our situations and challenges of life, of how is the Lord wanting to stretch our faith? Let's not go just by our own usual expectations, but look to the person and the power of Jesus Christ. That's what this text is calling us to. So these words of Martha do express faith. They also are a simple expression of grief. She honestly laid it out there. She had that trusting relationship with Jesus. She could just say, Lord, if you had been here, why weren't you here, Lord? Is kind of the implication. Lazarus is now dead. You could have healed him. But now what are we going to do? It's a kind of expression, certainly, that needs to happen within our own grief. That with a trusted person, we just express the raw feelings and questions and thoughts that we have. And she laid it out there. Lord, we could have used you here 3 days ago, but you waited. And lastly, her words expressed disappointment. Not condemnation or anger, but just disappointment. Lord, if you had been here. She knew Jesus could have healed Lazarus. Why didn't you come right away, Lord? Makes us think of our own times of disappointment with God, doesn't it? Lord, if you only had used your power, this loss in my life would not have brought sorrow into my life. Lord, if you would have prevented that car accident, if only you had directed me to a different time and place, I would not have been raped. Lord, if you only had been there, if you only had gotten my husband to the doctor sooner, he would not have died. If only. There's disappointment here in this story in our lives. And we see God responding to Martha's and our questions of why. It's really a question of why. How does Jesus respond to that? Do we find here in this text that Jesus comes back with reprimand of her lack of faith? No, and many times Jesus reacts much differently. And one of the ways here, particularly in this text, we see God responding is in the tears of Jesus, in that shortest verse of the Bible, right? Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse, but it speaks volumes. Jesus wept. And then it says he was moved deeply again in verse 38 as they were coming to the tomb. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And certainly his tears were out of a love and compassion he had for Lazarus and for Martha and the others there. He was sincerely grieved. He felt the emotion of the moment. He truly is that man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He felt all of the human pain and sufferings that we do here and now. And he felt this sorrow deep within his heart in this moment with these people going to the graveside of Lazarus and standing at the graveside of Lazarus. We confess that Jesus is himself God. So it is God himself who stood alongside these grieving family members and friends. God cares enough to weep with us in our own pain. And I know that's a thought and that's a belief that we all have and we've all heard many, many times before. But it's something we need to take within our own hearts and know for sure today, when we're in our pain and struggle, God cares enough to weep. He weeps with you now. God feels that sorrow with us. That's the image that we are to have. That's the experience we are to have of Jesus. We're going through life's challenges. He's not around us or in heaven saying, "Ah, come on now, pull yourself up. What are you crying for? You know, you really deserve this. You kind of caused the trouble yourself. Or, you know, you really deserve this. It's as part of the curse of sin in the world. We just experience hardship." He didn't throw that in their face. It's an example of God standing with us in our pain and sorrow, pure and simple. We need to know that. We need to feel that in the midst of those troubled times. But there's a second thing that we can gain from this verse. Jesus wept, or Jesus was moved in spirit, that we probably don't think about, because that phrase, moved in spirit, can also refer to anger, being deeply troubled in that way. Our spirit is angered. And Jesus wept here also because of his anger at death. That's also filled with compassion, but it's an anger at death. His were tears of rage at the enemy that he had come to defeat. The weeping of Jesus was a sign that God was very serious about taking away the guilt and the curse of sin in our lives. That's how much he wants us to be saved, to be raised to new life with him, to be freed of the condemnation of sin in our lives. He was angry on our behalf, angry with the intrusion of the devil in this world he created in perfection. He was angry with the result of sin, that his beautifully created people would end up with bodies in a pile of dust and souls suffering the torments of hell. So as Jesus encountered this scene of death, he was angry to the core, to the point of tears, because he knew it should not be that way. And so as we sit here this morning, can any one of us sit here and not have our faith impacted by this scene where Jesus weeps for us and is angry for us in tears? Can we doubt the care of God? Can we doubt the salvation of God offered to us through Jesus Christ? Can we doubt the power of God also to do good in our lives, to bring change into our lives, to work miracles in our lives by his grace and wisdom? So Jesus' tears and the raising of Lazarus from the dead challenges us to believe that his sacrifice is effective for destroying sin and death, and that future resurrection is a very sure thing. It's not an if or a maybe. And that's part of our hope in this life. Even though things don't always go our way, prayers don't always get answered the way we want, there is that hope, that eternal destiny that helps us in the here and now. And so finally, this morning, the obvious question comes up, well, why didn't Jesus prevent Lazarus' death? And I have all the answers for that question right here and now. We don't, do we? I mean, I'm a chaplain, after all, and part of the chaplain work is dealing with people in their suffering, in their time of death, in their time of weakness. And I've thought about it, and I studied, and I can give you tidbits of intellectual reasoning about why we go through the pain and suffering of this world. But in the end, in our humanness, it still doesn't quite do it, does it? It doesn't quite satisfy our understanding of that pain and suffering. So no, I don't have a great answer, a final confirming answer for you and me today. This is, why didn't Jesus prevent Lazarus' death? I can only go by what this text says and other scriptures, of course. So we see in Jesus' tears, he responds in that compassion and that felt anger about the situation. But here I go into looking at Jesus' response with the truth. As he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And I respond in this way in terms of what the text is pointing us to. The point of the story is to instill and stretch a person's faith. As Jesus said, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He challenged Martha. And then he said in that prayer to his heavenly Father, in terms of this all happened to that others would see the glory of God. And then he says, I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may what? Believe. So he's using this in the disciples' life, in Mary, Martha, all those around it, to stretch their faith. Not saying that they all didn't have faith. Martha confessed, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. She believed. But her faith needed to be stretched. And one of the reasons hers and the others, the faith of others needed to be stretched is because Jesus' own death and resurrection was coming. See, we stand at a different vantage point. We're after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so we can take all these stories and the experience of that and look back on it and take that truth and that hope for ourselves. But this story also functions as sort of a foreshadowing of Jesus' death and resurrection to come and preparing their faith to believe in that work and those events that he was about to go through. Because they were one day going to stand at the cross, but also at the tomb of Jesus. Many of us here believe in Jesus. We believe everything there is to believe about Jesus. Well, not everything, we're growing in that. But we believe a lot of things about Jesus, a lot of truth. And Martha thought she did too, but Jesus seeks to move her faith. And maybe that's just what we need also, to stretch and move our faith forward just a little further. To stretch our faith in a way where Jesus can not only heal, but he can also bring back to life. And that's not something that we encounter on a regular basis here and now today. And all I mean to say by that is simply when we go to God in prayer, when we are going through these experiences and encounters, to put our trust and faith in Jesus, to do whatever he will do, to put our hope in him that he can and does have the power to do great things for the glory of God and not our own glory. But maybe it's an opportunity to challenge your faith in how you actually look at Jesus. Maybe you see him as just a nice guy to have around when you need him. Maybe he's just that good listening ear, you know. We can pray to him anytime. We can lay out our hearts to him, and maybe that's all the further it goes. Maybe he's just a guy who can preach a good sermon, has good truth in the word, touches our lives, guides us, good words to follow, you know. Maybe he's the guy who does some good things for your life, gets you out of a difficult situation from time to time, maybe even brings you healing in your sickness. But the point of the story is Jesus is so much more than any of those views. For again, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He, the person of Jesus Christ, has the power, and he himself went through death and went through the resurrection in that power to bring eternal life with God. And it took that, his own life and his own death and rising to accomplish just that. So Jesus is not one who just pampers and comforts us through life. He goes after the very core of what we need. He goes after the big issues of life and death. When we see the eventual forsakenness of God that Jesus experienced on the cross, we must realize that was only temporary. And though maybe even Jesus himself didn't realize it was temporary in that moment, it was a heartfelt cry to the Father on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Likewise, God does not forsake us. He may stretch us to the point of feeling forsaken, but we are not forsaken. Believe that today. A person may be leading a very sinful life, but God still extends his grace, his love and grace to that person to believe. A person may be miserably poor and in desperate situations, but God accepts that person and can bless that person with peace and guidance in their lives. A person may be foul-mouthed or a murderer. God will accept him as he offers his grace to that person as well. And you and I may go through the death of a loved one, but God will accept. But God walks with us in that sorrow by his grace. And any number of trials, loss of job, loss of finances, troubled relationships, depression, sickness, can all challenge our belief and our faith in what God can do. But don't give up hope. Don't give up faith. God will do things, of course, in his time, but maybe differently than what we're exactly asking. But give us a different opportunity. Give us a different sign of how he wants to work in this situation. So believe today, in every trial, that Jesus has fought our greatest fight, death. And he's won our most prized possession, eternal life, resurrection from the grave, and eternal life. So yes, maybe it was easier for Martha to think about a resurrection in the future than to think about her very own brother being raised that very day before her eyes. She had faith, but is being stretched by Jesus. And because of this testimony of Scripture that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, we can know that no problem is too big for our Lord's help today. Not even a sinful, unbelieving heart. He can change anyone's heart. We are also assured in this story of that of a future bodily resurrection through Jesus' power to raise life that day. And I refer you to 1 Corinthians 15. I made that reference in the bulletin today, but go home and read that today. I was looking specifically at verses 20 and on, but the whole chapter is about resurrection, the coming resurrection, the bodily resurrection, the truths that are stated there. And this is a great truth for us as we think about our own mortality, that one day life comes to an end for each of us. It's a great truth as we stand beside the grave of a mother or a father or a sister or a brother, a son or daughter, grandchild, grandparent, or friend, as we all have in some way, in some relationship. We know that the darkness and ugliness of death has been conquered by Jesus himself. And we know, at least we confess with our mouth today, many of us do, that there will come a day when death itself will die. Hard for us to imagine. But it will be no more. Can you say amen to that? I know I caught you off guard. But literally, can you say amen to that? Amen. That's the confession that we need to hang on to. Because I know as well as you, life gets extremely tough. But Jesus knows the sorrow of our souls. We might think that Jesus let these folks down, that he lets us down. Maybe in a certain way he does. But he has a great future plan for us, whatever the case may be, whatever he decides to do in the here and now. But go to him in faith and trust and in the hope that one day all will be well. Are you willing to open your heart and mind and expand your belief in what Jesus can and wants to do in your life, in your trials and sorrows, believing that Jesus stands with you, that his power is much greater than any trial? He indeed is the one in whom we find hope amid life's challenges. In him we find our hope to endure and to be saved. Amen. Bow with me in prayer a moment. Father in heaven, we have all kinds of questions at times, Lord, and all kinds of hurts in our lives, and I just pray that you would help faith to abound, faith to prevail, and hope to enlarge our joy in life and our ability to endure the trials of this life, to continue on. We pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's respond in thanksgiving at this time and the giving of our offerings. Of course, we always have opportunity for the general fund, but the special offering today is for Freedom for Youth Ministries. And as that offering is taken, you'll find the friendship folders at the end of the aisle. If you could just pass that and record your name and information, particularly if you are a guest, we'd certainly love to just welcome you by way of a letter. And if you want to get a hold of any of us here, the pastor, please feel free to do so. We'd love to talk further about our church. Thank you. Let us now bow together in prayer as we have that great privilege to bring our needs and concerns before him. Lord God, as we remember your journey to the cross in this season of the year, but any day of our lives, we ask that you would help us to understand and follow the obedience, the sacrificial service, the compassion and single-hearted devotion to the Father that you, our Lord, demonstrated. Stir within us a godly sorrow for our sin and a joyful and thankful commitment to you and to your will each and every day of our lives. Father, we seek your mercy in our times of need. We seek your mercy and your help for those who are in our hearts and minds today. Remember the surgery that Stan and Darlene Ecton's son is facing for a knee replacement. The Lord, just some of the complication right now of having had staph infection, and just give him patience as he waits for the complete knee replacement and healing, Lord. We also want to remember LaVon Miskell's niece, Jane, as she's been suffering with brain tumors and as others have been found. Lord, we still pray for healing. We pray for grace and strength in her life from day to day. Surround her with those people who will encourage her and doctors who can and help her through this time. Continue to give health and strength to LaVon Hammonds, to Becky's mom, Paula, in her treatments. Use those to bring about complete healing. To Breslin as she continues her treatments. To Laura Nidham's brother, Justin, as he continues in treatment. Lord, we ask that you will work above and beyond these means to bring healing to each of these and to others we might know. Bring strength and continued healing to the legs of Drew Geiser, to Barb's ankle. And we ask for full-time employment for Nancy. We ask for continued safe travels for Joseph and Rachel Zarway, and we pray for their safe return in a couple weeks as they return back to the U.S. from Liberia. Lord, we ask that you would bless others who are maybe traveling at this time because of spring break. And you know, Mike's request to pray for Jenny Meyer as she returns from her spring break trip. And also Des Moines Christian Mission Team, may you grant them safety. Perhaps they're already home, but I pray, Lord, that you will just bless their coming home and their adjustment back to home and the witness that they had there. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the nomination process for elder and deacon. You'd guide the council in this congregation. Lord, we each have our struggles from day to day. May we find strength and peace in you, whether we're going through significant decisions, whether going through tensions in relationships, physical weakness, diseases, other concerns, Lord. Please, O God, give strength and peace and guidance in the midst of all of these, whatever they might be, to young and old alike. And so hear our prayer, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Any announcements at this time? None at all. All right. Will you stand then for our parting word of blessing? And as you go, please continue your time of fellowship and greeting of each other and time with coffee and refreshment after the service. And so let us receive this blessing from our God. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, strengthen you in every good deed and word. Go now in peace. Amen.
won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. You reign.